the Lord will be honored. So looking at God's word, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by sadness of face the heart is made glad. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fools. This also is vanity. Surely oppression drives the wise into madness, and the bribe corrupts the heart. Let us be seated this morning. Well, perhaps not the most joyful of verses to read together, but good and wise verses, I hope we'll agree by the time that we're done slowing down and looking at them a little bit this morning. And so as you're looking there at your message notes, you'll see, as I said, when I made up the notes, I was thinking we're going to tackle six considerations as we live this life according to chapter 7 of the book of Ecclesiastes. We're just going to tackle three this morning. And I pray that, again, that the Lord would be honored. As we're living this life, as Solomon is pushing us to consider that life is best lived with God in view, okay, when we have that, when we understand that I don't simply measure life by the things that I can see under the sun, but I need to measure them the way that God measures them, who lives beyond the sun, and one day I'm going to be meeting this God beyond the sun. How then should I be living? And so Solomon gives us several indications here of some things to keep in mind to consider as we live this life. The first is this. Number one, give consideration to your name. Give consideration to your name. And I'm looking here at verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment. A good name is better than precious ointment. The Bible has much to say about one's name, how it's easy to lose one's good name and difficult to regain it. Perhaps as a child, you were raised, maybe even as a parent, you have said to your children something along the lines of, live up to your family name. And there was some encouragement to look beyond oneself and uphold a standard that was beyond yourself. Perhaps in the town that you grew up in, you can think of a certain family name, that Smith family. A bunch of troublemakers, all of them. You know them. They're always rabble-rousing in some form or fashion. Or there's that Jones family in the community that you know are always appropriate, always wise. There may be another family in the community that you know that if someone is in need, that family, above all others, they're going to help you. And everyone in their family, it's the same way. Solomon encourages us to slow down and consider, what about your name? And not so much your name in the community, but what about your name before God? Now, there was a practice in the tabernacle and in the temple that when one would go into the place of sacrifice, the priest would place upon himself this sweet-smelling incense ointment perfume. And think of this issue of precious ointment as long-lasting cologne. A good name is better than a precious ointment. And the priest would put this on, symbolic of that his presence before God was sweet to God's nostrils. But what's the problem with cologne or perfume? Wears off, doesn't it? Even the most expensive stuff, even the cheap stuff that stinks, eventually it wears off, right? But a good name lingers. Better than something that I do for myself to make myself smell better or look better is my inward nature that gets lived out and by which I am known. Now, left to ourselves, left to ourselves, all of us have a particular name. Sinner. For all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And no amount of good works or nice smelling ointment on the outside is going to remove the name of sinner by ourselves. Well, then how can I get a different name? How can I get a good name then? For in Proverbs 22:1, Solomon tells us, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And favor is better than silver or gold. Well, the clue is, I need a new name, and who can give me a good name that will last forever? Well, God encourages us in His Word that He can give us a new name. Isaiah 56:5, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Well, how do I appropriate this name? How do I shed myself of? How can this old name, this rotten name, be removed from me? And how can a good name be applied to me? Well, Jesus would encourage us in Luke 10:20, when He was telling the disciples as they came back to Him from the preaching ministry and they were rejoicing that even the demons were leaving them at the announcing of Jesus' name. And Jesus says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Well, how can I be sure that my name written in heaven is a good thing? Because all those who are renewed and remade in Christ Jesus are given new names. Though I am without Christ, known and named as a sinner, in Christ I am named, as we prayed earlier, as saint. Even though outside of Christ, according to Romans chapter 5, outside of Christ I am known as an enemy of God, inside of Christ I am known as His child. Outside of Christ I am hopeless. Inside of Christ I am filled with hope. I am filled with joy. I am filled with the knowledge that all my sins have been forgiven. I'm even given a new name. Listen to Revelation chapter 2. Verse 17, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, this is the one who perseveres, who doesn't just begin well with Christ, but who also ends with Christ. To the one who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, speaking of the manna, the feast food of heaven. And I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except one who receives it. We are given new names through Christ. Revelation 3:8, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and not denied my name. And as we do not deny the name of Christ, then the name of Christ is given to us. That's what this whole notion of Christians means. Christian is not merely a religious designation, as opposed to Buddhist. No, technically, Christian means little Christ. This is the name that we carry as we call Jesus our Savior, Little Christ. A good name, one that lasts forever, that gives us every benefit because of the blood of Christ. This name is better than any precious ointment that we could put upon ourselves. A name, a good name, a great name of Christ in us. Now, this becomes a moment of introspection. Indeed, as my father would ask me occasionally, are you honoring the family name? I need to ask the question, don't I? I who call myself by a new name, my identity is in Christ. I who have received the name Little Christ, am I honoring the name? And surely, some of us in this place have not done so well, have we? We've gossiped. We've bickered. We've complained. We've spoken rashly. We have questioned God and His wisdom for our lives. We have not loved our wife as Christ has loved the church. We have not yielded to the leadership of our husbands. We have not honored father and mother. And the list could go on and on and on. Now here is the good news. Your good name does not rest on how you act. But your good name rests upon the one who has acted on your behalf. Keep trusting in Christ, who is perfect and whose good name lasts in us forever. Now don't mishear me. I'm not encouraging you to go out and sin. We know this. But as I am a believer in Christ and I take that name upon myself, it ought to be my desire then day by day, not to live for the glory of Ken, and not to even live for the glory of the Hardens on Old Fort Road, but to live for the glory of Christ, whose name I bear. Let us give consideration to our names. You don't like the name you have, you know that your name before God is one of dishonor. You know it is one of judgment. You know it is one of sin. Well, there is one who is able to give you a good name. The very judge you stand before offers you His Son, that all who come to His Son shall be made new creations along with new names. Come to Christ and be changed. Those of us who have been changed, let us go from this place today and live according to the name by which we have been called in Christ. And then Solomon goes on, and he goes on into a section that at first appears very dire. He goes on in the second half of verse 1 here of chapter 7. The day of death is better than the day of birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. It's better to go to the funeral home than to the party house. So number 2 on our list today is this: give consideration to your death. No one who went to the tailgating parties yesterday, I doubt very many, I'll put it this way, because I don't know all, only God knows all, so absolute statements are sometimes difficult to prove, but I would be willing to say that most tailgating parties over the weekend, there was very little about, have you considered what will happen the moment that you die? It's past the wings. If there's any concern, is it, do we have enough Mountain Dew to make it through the game? No, to begin to force one to think seriously and soberly about one's life. You don't point them to the day of their birth where it's all possibilities and all hopes. You point them to the end. Are you ready? It's only when we go to the, it's at the funeral home that most of us begin to have those thoughts. Well, one day I'm going to be in that box. They're saying all kinds of wonderful things about this person and their faith, and they're going to be able to enjoy the well done of God. They're going to be reunited with the Savior. What about me? Those thoughts come when we go to the funeral home because we're forced to face our own mortality. And Solomon says, it's better to think the thoughts than to continually, is the essence here, continually going and avoiding these things and only going to the house of feasting, because one day you may wake up and then you're dead. And you've never given any thought to the seriousness of life. This is what he's trying to get the readers to involve, because he's moving them towards, remember, Ecclesiastes 12, triumphs in, keep God as the focus. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face the heart is made glad. Oh, well, what's going on here? Well, if you ever talk with somebody who never takes a moment seriously in life, it's hard to have serious conversations with them. When the most serious conversation we need to have with each other, with those that we love and live by and work with, is, have you considered eternity? Sorrow is better than laughter, because when someone is sorrowful, they're willing to hear words of hope. People who are just always giddy and always laughing, what do they need hope for? All's rosy and well. But those who are made to see that, left to ourselves, there is cause for sorrow before a holy God, those who endure that momentary sorrow, who are pricked by the Holy Spirit to recognize their sinfulness, they have hope then. They have the hope of having hope spoken to them, because there is good news when we understand what the bad news of sin is. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of the fool is in the house of mirth. Now, does this mean that as Christians, we should always be long-faced? No. Continue to read the rest of your Bibles, and there's points all over the place. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Does not Paul end one of his letters? Rejoice always. In fact, it's the shortest verse in the Greek. Rejoice always. So it's not that the believer must always be mourning or always be sorrowful, but it's better to have the end in view on the horizon before us so that we order our days rightly. And even considering as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that one day this mortal flesh is going to stop functioning. It's going to happen. But I know that even though this mortal flesh stops functioning, I've got life after that. So that when I consider even my own mortal death, joy comes to me, because I know that on the other side of the Jordan, that's an imagery of the church. Remember in the Old Testament when the people were entering into the promised land, right? They had to cross Jordan, and throughout the scriptures that imagery has been taken up, the Jordan being the river of death, crossing over into the promised life. So that's why we sang earlier, when we're on the verge of Jordan, getting ready to enter in, when this life is over and we cross through death, through the valley of the shadow of death, there's more that awaits for us. Oh yes, consider our end. Consider our end rather than our beginning. Because then we become not only perhaps as a Christian hopeful and joyful again, and what we have and who we have in Christ, we become mindful then also, am I prepared to meet such a God? And that's when we usher in the good news of Jesus Christ, that all that come to Christ shall never be turned away. He holds us forever in the grip of His grace. I can be encouraged in the living of my days now, and then I can be wise as to how I live my days now. This is the essence of what the psalmist says, Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 12. Psalm 39, verse 4. O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days. Let me know how fleeting I am, so that I will not be all caught up in the here and now, but that I become aware of a day yet to come, so that in the here and now I may live with purpose, intentionality, even with joy. Yes, it is good for a Christian to be sober about this life. It is the heart of the wise who thinks through these things and daily measures, if today were to be my last, how will I live? Let me live joyfully, for I know my reward yet to come. But let me also live intentionally today, as long as the Lord gives breath, to live in such a way that brings honor to His name. Give consideration to your name. Give consideration to your death so that you may know how to live today. And then the last thing I want to pick up today before we stop is the following. Give consideration. And I don't really have a great, if you can think of a better word, I'm all for you sharing with that with me later. But give consideration to your feedback. Look here in verse 5. It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fools. This also is emptiness, vanity, meaninglessness, vapor. Surely oppression drives the wise into madness, and a bribe corrupts the heart. Well, what is going on here? Brothers and sisters, be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you give your ears to. That's one side of the equation. And then on the other side of the equation, I want you to be careful what kind of wisdom do you give when others are listening? May we be of those who are counted among the wise, who give weighty words, and not of fools who laugh away with meaningless, empty words. It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. True preacher of the Word of God will not always leave you laughing. And be careful of trying to find those who always make you laugh all the way through the sermon every time you listen. Because God, through His Word, sometimes confronts us and convicts us. We need not be afraid of such preaching. It is better for us to hear the rebuke of the wise. Now, jump down to verse 7. There is a way in which that can become oppressive to us when all we hear is only conviction, only conviction, only conviction, only conviction. Jesus convicted of sin. You whitewashed sepulchers. You know, that's not really happy talk there. But He was also able to say, come to me, all ye who are weary. Words of encouragement. It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise. Psalm 141, verse 5, let the righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil, which is a symbol of comfort. It is oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it. Proverbs 25:12, like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. And before you just jump in and start rebuking somebody, maybe perhaps win them with your care for them and encouragement. Proverbs 27:6 speaks of this. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The opposite is also given to us. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Careful of the one who's always flattering you, who's never willing to speak a word of caution to you according to the word of God. For the song of the fools, the continual flattery, the continual, oh, that's all right, and then the giving of worldly wisdom. For this is verse 6, for as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of fools, this also is vanity. Well, maybe some of you haven't done enough camping. We've had to go and you had to collect your own wood. Maybe you have had the experience where you've gone and, well, here's a hole, you know, you wrestled with this thorn bush and you put it under and you light it and it lights quick. And it sounds neat, pop, 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 because there's air in the thorn. But funny thing about a thorn bush, you light it and it lights quick and it's gone quick. You can't do anything with it. It's useless. It's empty to the one who's seeking heat or usefulness from it. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fools. This also is emptiness. Let us be careful that the men and the women that we seek counsel from are wise men and women. As we've watched them, as we come to the Word of God, let's understand that this is the wisest of all teachers. Let's be careful, even if it hurts, to give honor to what we're hearing. Let us seek out men and women who we watch over the course of their lives. And as we've listened to them, that their words are given the weight of Scripture. For this is wise of us. It's better for us to hear such words, even if they should, with love, speaking grace, or speaking words of truth in love, even if in love words of truth are spoken that pierce for a moment. For we know that the intention is the care of our soul. Now, this is also a good word for us, for those of us who are given to giving counsel. Don't be afraid sometimes to have to correct according to the Word of God. It is your wisdom that you give that which is the latest little pithy statement off of some billboard somewhere? Or does it carry with it the weight of God's Word? Is the latest little statement off of your Facebook status, your friend's Facebook status, that which is giving you more wisdom than the Word of God? When you are asked to speak into somebody else's life, first consider, of all the wisdom I've ever heard, is there anything that God's Word says first? Because His Word is the wisest. For those of you who are parenting, it's not sufficient. I'm saying this as a parent. It's not sufficient merely to say, because I said so. If the I said so is not based on a biblical principle. Those of us who are parents, be careful with your children. When correction is so constant, and rebuke is so constant that it seems oppressive to your children. There are no words of encouragement. Even Christ spoke words of encouragement to those that He preached to. Yes, spoke forthrightly, honestly, boldly, but also encouragingly. So this morning, as we are considering the fact that Christ has rescued our souls, as He has given us a new name, and that new name we are looking forward to live out and receiving in all its fullness in the world yet to come, that promised land on the other side of Jordan, as we're looking forward to considering our end and what that means for the meantime. Well, in the meantime, at least one direct implication of the Proverbs that Solomon gives us here in Ecclesiastes 7 is to be careful who you listen to. And be careful with the advice that you are giving, that you be counted as one who is wise and not giving the ramblings of a fool. And that's as far as I want to go today. I know it's sort of an abrupt ending, but it's as far as I feel like I'm prepared to really give you today. And that's probably enough for us, isn't it? I mean, that's a pretty weighty question to ask. What name do I have before God? I pray that you know, that you know that you know that you carry the name of Christ, believing in His work on Calvary, believing in His work out of the grave, believing in His work even now at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf. I pray that you're glad for that name, and that today perhaps you may need to humble yourself, for you have not honored that name as you should. And confess that. Rejoice in the cleansing that is yours in Christ Jesus. And go in the strength of the Holy Spirit to this week. Live according to the good name that God has given you in Christ. Maybe some of you are confronted just in that middle section there where death is the last thing you want to consider. And yet, what does Solomon say in verse 2? For this is the end of all mankind. We're all moving towards it. We can't avoid the subject. It's pressing upon us. Are we ready? And if my days are fleeting, as the psalmist says, how am I filling them out for the glory of God? And then lastly, let's be careful to receive and give words of the wise. Our Father, this morning as we hear your word, I pray your Spirit would give power to what we've heard. My words are merely words. Unless your Spirit attends the hearts of all who hear and give power that we may believe and hope and yield. You are so good to us. We thank you for the name of Christ that you have given to us. We thank you for that new name that the book of the Revelation says we have in Christ that we don't know anything about, but you hold it perfect for us, and you shall give it to us as we persevere in Christ. And the persevering is even strength that you give to us moment by moment as we keep our faces fixed on the one who has given his life for us. Truly, we are new creations and even newly named in Christ. May this be the name that we seek to honor and live by. I pray for those, Father, in this place that struggle. They don't want to think about death. They just want to float from happy cloud to happy cloud all this life. I pray you would break in with the light of your word to have them begin to consider their end, that they may hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that in Christ there needs not be any end, but we move from life to life. I pray, Father, that we would stop the self-deception of thinking that we could add good things to ourselves rather than simply receive the good name of Jesus. Help us to be wise in whom we listen to. And help us to receive even a loving rebuke from a friend as precious to us. We are weak in these things. So give us strength this is not how we would do things. But you know what is best. And so may we listen to you and yield to you alone. In Jesus' name, we pray.